pieces of Kedushas Levi for Parshas Bamidbar. The first one will connect us to Megillas Rus, actually, in an interesting way. The second one will remind us who we are and the relationship of our neshama to the Torah. And the third one will probably be over our heads, but we'll try to read it and learn it anyways. Okay, so let's start with the first piece. How does Parshas Bamidbar begin? So Parshas Bamidbar begins Chumash HaPekudim, as Chumash Bamidbar is known. It begins with a count of Bnei Yisrael. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves counting, as Rashi says. Hashem loves counting the Jewish people. So he's always counting us. He counted us when we left Mitzrayim. He counted us after Chedah Egal. And he counts us again when he is placing his Shechina amongst us. So Hashem is very into taking account. So Hashem says to Moshe, listen, I need you to gather the heads of the Jewish people, and I want you to do a count. So what do the Pesukim say? Su'es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpacho sam leves avosam. Right, Hashem spoke to Moshe. This is in the second year after leaving Mitzrayim. It's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's the first day of the second month. And Hashem says to Moshe, let's get some of the leaders of Klal Yisrael to help make a count, to take an accounting of each of the Shvatim. And then the Pesukim describe, after it goes through the names of all of the leaders of the tribes who are going to assist Moshe in the count, then in Pasuk Yud Ches it says, and he quotes this here, Ve'ez kol ha'eda hikilu, they gathered everyone together, Be'echad l'chodesh hasheni, at the beginning of the second month, again on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And then the Pasuk says, and this is the key phrase, Ve'yisyaldu al mishpachosam leves avosam. What does it mean, Vayisyaldu? I guess the Pashup Shad is that they took an accounting of the births. I mean, they established their genealogy. Who is a Jew? Who is not a Jew? What Shevet do you come from? And Rashi very famously explains, how would they establish who one comes from? So Perish Rashi Zal, Berditchever quotes Rashi, Heviu Sifrei Yichusehem. The Jews brought their books, their written documentation of their Yichus, meaning to prove what tribe you were from, because the count was going to be in accordance with the tribes. So first you have to prove that you're actually a Jew and from a particular tribe. How do you prove that? So Rashi says one of two things. Either you bring the Sefer Yichus, you bring some type of written documentation. And then Rashi also says, right, everyone focuses on the first one for some reason, in the Sfarim when they talk about this idea. But Rashi also says that there could also be Eidei Chazaka, there could be witnesses who testify that you're from a particular tribe. Okay, but what's this Indian of Vayisyaldu? Is Vayisyaldu just saying that now we're going to take an accounting of what tribe people are from? Or is there something more that's happening in this moment? So it explains the Holy Berditchever, V'linira lefarish kipshuto, V'yisyaldu lashon leida. In a certain sense, in this moment, Klal Yisrael are being born again. What does that mean? That the way that the Jews are born is different than the way that the Gentiles are born. The way that we understand Jewish birth in terms of lineage, in terms of genealogy, is different than the way we view the birth of a non-Jew. Why? What does that mean? Sounds like I'm hinting to a lot of different things, but you'll see. Hinting to one thing that the Berditchever says here. Ki adua hi hu. It's well known. She'umos ha'olam misyachzim achar imam. That the nations of the world, their yichus is established by their mothers. And that's why they're called le'umim, from the word aim. What's this idea? Where does this come from? So I have in front of me here a Medrash Rus Rabbah. We're going to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. And it says in Rus Rabbah the following story. It says that when Avnimos the weaver, who was a well-known non-Jewish philosopher and scholar, who's quoted several times in the Medrash, so when Avnimos the weaver's mother passed away, so Rabbi Meir went to pay a shiva call, believe it or not. And when he got there, he found that Avnimos was sitting shiva. Okay, so he paid his respects to this well-known non-Jewish scholar. The Medrash says that a while later, his father passed away. And Rabbi Meir once again went to pay a shiva call. And he found that he was asukin b'malachton. He found that Avnimos and I guess his siblings were going about their work. It was a regular day. So Rabbi Meir said to Avnimos, "Kemeduma ani she'imcha chaviva lecha yoser me'avicha." So he said to him, again, you don't have this medrash in front of you, the Berditchever doesn't quote it, but he's referring to it. So he said to Avnimos, It seems to me that your mother is more important than your father, because when your mother passed away, you sat Shiva. And when your father passed away, you went about your business. So Amar Lo, so Avnima said back to him, isn't that what it says in your Bible? V'lo king siv, doesn't it say in the book of Ruth, Isha leves ima, that when Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go home, she doesn't say go back to your father's house. She says go back to your mother's house. V'lo lebeis aviyah. Amar Lo, so Rav Meir said, okay, yafa amarta, you're saying good. She'ein, now listen to these words, she'ein av legay, that a Gentile has no father. What's the pshat? A Gentile has no father. It means that when we assess the birth of a person, it's evident who the mother is, right? I mean, we can have documentation, we have hospital records, we have the physical reality of seeing the mother give birth to the child. When it comes to the father, it's not always clear who the father is. And the more promiscuous the society is, the more we have to be concerned that maybe the dad is not actually the dad. Okay, obviously not going to get into the halachas of to what degree, DNA and paternity testing would hold up in terms of halacha. But the bottom line is, in a promiscuous society, we never really know if the one who claims to be the dad is in fact the dad. The mother is for sure the mother. So in non-Jewish society, again, coming back now to Rashi and coming back to the Berditchever, the umos, their yichus is established by their mother. While they may again see in their nationhood, they may see their father as the one who establishes their nationhood, but in a certain sense, the mother is the one who we know they truly come from. The chiddush of Klal Yisrael is that even though your Judaism is determined by your mother, however, ma she'ein kein uma Yisraelis achar shekiblu haTorah v'asu asamishkon v'kelav, that once we became the Torah nation that we are, zochu le'siyaches achar mishpachos avihem, and that's a praise of Klal Yisrael. K'noda sod bedavar. What's the sod? I don't know what the sod is. I don't know what the sod is, but the pashup shot is that we're confident to believe that our parents are actually our parents, that we trust that our fathers are in fact our fathers, and that we've created a society that doesn't have the promiscuity of the world, and we're confident that that our yichus is our yichus, and that's sort of what's happening in this pasuk. V'yisyaldu amishpachosam, says the pasuk, what? V'yisyaldu amishpachosam leveis, that when we bring our sefer yichus, not only can we testify that our mothers are our mothers, but we believe in the purity of the Jewish family, that even the father is going to determine the shevet. Vizel v'yis. So says the Berditchever, that's what it means, v'yis yaldu. What does it mean, v'yis yaldu? It doesn't just mean that they established their genealogy, but rather, nolad lehem davar chadash, a new idea was born in this moment, and that is, l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam, that the Jewish people are going to be counted according to their fathers. If you look in the writings of the Shaul Umeshiv, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, he has a sefer on Chumash called Divrei Shaul. So he explains there that this is only true after Kabbalah Satorah, meaning Torah gives us such an important thing. You read a piece like this, you wonder, like, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is that Torah gives us a certain courage and confidence and ability and yashrus and purity to be able to make sure that we end up pure and holy, that our yichus becomes or maintains its purity. And while the world becomes more and more degraded in terms of its morality, the Jewish people, mishpachosu levesavosam, we have no question that my father's my father. We don't have these types of mishugana cases that you hear in the world as being sometimes almost commonplace. She is yachsu achar mishpachos, that the Jewish people can count their families according to their fathers with confidence that, again, that the Jewish home is built with purity. We're compared to certain animals or certain birds, the dove, for example, as being very loyal to its mate. And that's who the Jewish people are compared to. Achosi yonasi, that purity and that intimacy of husband and wife, that exclusivity that's highlighted by the word kedushin, all of that is something that's unique to Klal Yisrael. And it was nolad, and again, the Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, brings proofs that this is so, but all of this was nolad b'shas Kabbalah Satorah. It's through the Torah that we're able to maintain our sexual morality. That's why the Rambam, by the way, very famously writes at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia that it's only a person whose heart is devoid of Torah wisdom who gets involved in sexually immoral behavior. Because the more I cling to Torah, the more I'm true to my yichus. The more I don't allow myself to stray into this lowly, promiscuous behavior. So again, this is a big part of Kabbalah Satorah. as we read the story of Rus, and as Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's house, what she's really implying is that, yes, there's something different, categorically different, about a Jewish home and a non-Jewish home. There's a certain confidence and purity and holiness that exists in a Jewish home because of our connection to Torah that doesn't exist, or certainly doesn't, we don't have the confidence to say that it exists, by the Umos Ha'olam. Again, Uma Milashon Eim. That they can only go by their mother, because their mother is for sure their mother. And he says, the Reditchever says, he concludes the piece by saying, that's the Su'u Esrosh B'nai Yisrael. That when we take a head count, the Torah always uses a lashon of se'u. Right? Literally, take a head count. But it means to lift up, literally. To lift up the heads of the Jewish people. In what way is counting in this format, in the beginning of our parsha, how does it lift our heads? How does it give us chizuk? And the answer is se'u. Mi lashon hisnasos v'harama. We're lifted up to this higher level of living. L'mishpachosim l'veis avosim. We have higher standards. We have better marriages and more pure marriages, and statistically speaking, less divorce in the Jewish community than the average home in the world. Why? Because again, there's something that the Torah has given Klal Yisrael. Not to say that not every Jewish marriage works out either. That's unfortunately the reality, and that's why the Torah has a mitzvah of divorce when it's necessary. But statistically speaking, the Jewish home is something that has much more stability than the average home of the world. And I don't think that's an inappropriate or unfair knock on the world at large. I think it's just a truthful reality. And it's rooted in our connection to Torah. It gives us that foundation. That once you have a Torah, and once you have a Mishkan with the Kodesh Baruch Hu as the centerpiece, the central pillar of my life, so then it becomes much, much easier for a Jew to build a Jewish home. And again, that's something we definitely want to think about as we once again re-accept the Torah and Shavuos. How will this change the type of family that I'm going to be able to build in Mir Tashem one day? Speaking to those of us who are not yet married. Those who are married, to mechazik us, to make sure that our home is built on Torah, and that will certainly increase the quality and the authenticity of our home. Okay, so that's the first piece, the first of three pieces. Okay, the second piece. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe v'yifkadeim b'midbar Sinai. The very next pasuk, Perek Aleph pasuk Yotes, after it tells us about the nature of the count, it says, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe, v'yifkadeim b'midbar Sinai. He counted them in Midbar Sinai. What's the problem with this pasuk? The problem is you would expect it to be the other way around. So often you have psukim where Moshe does something and then it says, he did it, kasher tziva Hashem. Here, the kasher tziva Hashem, as Moshe, comes before the v'yifkadeim b'midbar Sinai. So at this point, Moshe has already gathered everyone. They already made the count. He already took the heads of the tribes. He counted everyone from the age of 20 and up. So it should say, yesh ledaktik, havi li lameimar, it should have said the other way around. V'yifkadeim b'midbar Sinai. Moshe counted them in the wilderness of Sinai. Kasher tziva Hashem. Right? As Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe. That's the way so many other psukim are written in the Torah. That, this is what was done. Kasher tziva Hashem. As God said so. We find it by the Mishkan over and over again. So why does the pasuk here say Kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe? What did he do? Leifkadeim b'midbar Sinai. Again, it's not inappropriate to be written this way. But typically we'd expect it to be in the other way around. So he says a beautiful, beautiful idea. An idea that many of us are familiar with. But let's see how he teaches it to us. And he adds maybe a new piece to the puzzle for many of us. And that is, Venira. V'yinei Hashem yisbarach nasan ha-Torah li-Yisrael. Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. How is the Torah absorbed by the Jewish people? Through our souls. V'nishmas Yisrael heim guf ha-Torah. Like some of us had the schus to learn yesterday, right, in the Beis Halevi's Hagdama to his Drashos, that the Jew who learns Torah becomes mamish Torah. That nishmas Yisrael, the essence of who I am, my neshama, is the guf of Torah. That is Torah itself. Which means when you learn a Jew, it's like learning Torah. When you talk to a Jew, it's like learning Torah. When you try to better understand a Jew, you learn his sugya, so you're learning Torah. That's the part my brother always likes to share from the Belzer Rebbe, who said, I like pilpul, I like to study pilpul. Why do I like to learn in the pilpul style of learning Be'iyun, because Sometimes, just like when you're learning a sugya, sometimes it's a complicated sugya, and there's some very strong questions, and the Rishonim are all tangled up in these questions, trying to sort out the sugya. If a person knows how to learn Gemara Be'iyun, so you also know how to learn a sugya of a Jew Be'iyun. Sometimes you meet a Jew, and you say, really, this is a Jew? I have a lot of kashas on that. But if you know how to darshan, if you know how to be mapalpel, so you're able to uncover his chelik in Torah, and to explain, Zera Shava, Kava Chomer, compared to this, and do this, Binyan Av, and by the time you're done, Klal Pradu Klal, you've worked out the sugya using the Midos Shatar and Adreshes Behen, and you figured out how this Yid, who at times doesn't seem to be such a great Yid, is in fact a real Jew. So a Jew is Torah. A Jew is Mamish Nishmas Yisrael. You can underline this line, it's a very powerful phrase. Nishmas Yisrael Heim Guf HaTorah. That Nishmas Yisrael is the embodiment of Torah itself. Ki Yisrael Heim Samach Ribo Osios LaTorah. Because the Jewish people correspond, the neshamos of the Jewish people correspond to the 600,000 letters of the Torah. Again, we know that there's not actually 600,000 letters of the Torah, at least not 600,000 that we see, in terms of the black ink upon the white parchment. There are 304,805, 304,805 letters. But the tradition, Al-Pi Kabbalah, Al-Pi Pnimius, is that there are 600,000 letters of the Torah. And that's hinted to many Sfarim bring in the name Yisrael. Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. Why we always refer to 600,000 as Shishim Ribo, as 60,000 is a good question, but that's always how we refer to it. Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters of the Torah, corresponding to Yisrael, corresponding to each and every Jew. Nimtzu Yisrael Heim HaTorah. And therefore, says the Berditchover, we are the Torah. Ki kol echad mi Yisrael hu os mei Torah. Every Jew is a letter in the Torah. And therefore what? Nimtza mashapakad Moshe es Yisrael lamar es Torah. When Moshe was counting the Jews, counting a Jew, taking stock of the number of the Jewish people, is no different than a person sitting and learning a letter of Torah. So when Moshe is counting Bnei Yisrael, to say it differently, he's actually learning Bnei Yisrael. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael themselves are a Torah. They are a living Torah. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the sugya called Klal Yisrael. Again, let's look at the words. Nimsa mashapakad Moshe es Yisrael, mashapakad Moshe es Yisrael. Well, that which Moshe counted Bnei Yisrael, he was studying Torah. How does that help us understand the Pasuk? So the Berditchover says, v'zeo haremez, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. What does that mean, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe? As Hashem generally commanded Moshe. What did Hashem command Moshe? If I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said, what did God command Moshe? You would answer, the Torah. Right. So says the Berditchover, Haremez Shetzivoy HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. That which God generally commanded Moshe in something called the Torah, Zichru Torah Moshe, the Navi says, we should remember the Torah of Moshe. The Moshe's name is attached to the very Torah itself. So kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, just like God gave to Moshe something called the Torah, you should realize hu ba'atzmo, that itself was being experienced as Moshe was what? Was counting as Yisrael. As Moshe counts Bnei Yisrael, that is a fulfillment of what? Of not the specific mitzvah to count Bnei Yisrael. What the Berditchover is saying is if the Pasuk would have said, Vayifkideim Bamidbar Sinai, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, we would read it, right, God commanded Moshe to count Bnei Yisrael. So, Moshe counted the Jews in the wilderness as God commanded. It would sound like it was a mitzvah that was being fulfilled. By writing it the other way around, again, take a look at the pasuk carefully. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe, in general, not specifically the count here, as Hashem gave something called the Torah to Moshe, that is, the entirety of the Torah, that is, Vayifkadeim, Bamidbar Sinai. That is what Moshe experienced when he counted Bnei Yisrael. Counting Jews is literally like learning Torah. What an amazing idea. Because every Jew is represented by a different letter. Haremez shetziva haTorah asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. The general principle of commanding, again, the entirety of the Torah, is what Moshe experienced here as he was counting es Yisrael. Umizeh hatam nira hadichsif. And with this we can understand something that we have to ask at this point, that I've seen a lot of Sfarim who talk about this idea of Bnei Yisrael being Keneged the Osios, but most of them don't raise this point directly, at least not that I've seen. The Berditchever says, let me ask you a question. When we get a little bit later into the Parsha, and we find out that Sheva Levi is being asked not to be counted here at the end of Perek Aleph, and that Sheva Levi will have a separate count in Perek Dalid, why is that? Are Sheva Levi not part of the letters of the Torah? And the Berditchever reveals to us a little bit and conceals a lot. He gives us something to think about. He doesn't tell us how this is so or why this is so. But he says, right, Sheva Levi is counted separately because Sheva Levi is not actually part of the letters of the Torah. So where is their chelek in Torah? U'mizeh atam nira hadich siv, achas matei Levi lo sifkod, end of the pasuk, lo sisa besoch b'nei Yisrael. Sheva Levi should not be part of this initial count. They're not counted along with b'nei Yisrael. They're counted separately. Why? Look at this. Ki Yisrael him neged Torah shebichsav. Because the black letters of the Torah, the ink upon the parchment, the dio upon the klav, that represents who? Klal Yisrael, the other shvatim. As opposed to Mate Levi, and again, you could try to work on it, try to explain it to me and to yourself and to others. Heim neged Torah Shebal Peh. While Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun all correspond to Torah Shebechsav, Sheva Levi corresponds to Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why it says in the fourth parak, when it talks about the count of Levi, very, very beautiful, the Berditchever ends the piece by saying, Vezeu b'leviyim al pi Hashem pakad. As opposed to Moshe, who maybe is the world of Torah Shebechsav, the one who transmitted Torah Shebechsav to Klal Yisrael, but when it comes to Sheva Levi, they're counted in what way? Al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem. In accordance with the Peh, Torah Shebal Peh. Again, why Sheva Levi is uniquely associated with Torah Shebal Peh definitely needs to be thought about, needs to be understood. Is it connected in any way to Sheva Levi not suffering in Mitzrayim? And is the oppression of Mitzrayim the Hechatimsa to Kabbalah's Torah Shebechsav? Torah Shebal Peh operates differently. Again, a lot of things to think about, but it's an important question to think about. You know, if B'nai Yisrael are the black of the Torah, so where is Sheva Levi? So Sheva Levi represents not the white of the Torah, but perhaps the Torah Shebal Peh. And then there's all sorts of other explanations. The Svarim say that the Gerim, that converts, they don't correspond to the letters, they correspond to the crowns, to the Tagim on top, the points on top of the letters, which is why Rabbi Akiva, who was a Ben Gerim, felt so deeply connected. The Gemara in Menachos, he darshaned out all of the Tilim Tilim Shehalachos by explaining the crowns, the Tagim, on top of the letters. And there's also a question, women who are not really part of this 600,000 count, so where's their place in Torah? They represent the white of the Torah. The white of the Torah in many ways is deeper than the black of the Torah. Maybe there's a Kriyan Ksiv involved here. Maybe every letter is made up of other letters. A lot of different ways to break it down and to make sure everyone has their place. The bottom line is everyone has his or her place, man or woman, Sheva Levi or other Shvatim. It's just a question of where that is. But to realize, again, that a Jew is etzem Torah, that Nishmas Yisrael Heim Gufa Torah is a very, very serious thing for us to think about. That it's not enough for me to just be someone who learns Torah, but the avod is really to become Torah. A Jew is supposed to see himself or herself as Torah. I am Torah. I don't just learn Torah. The same way I don't have a neshama, I am a neshama. That's the essence of who I am. Definitely a major, major thing to think about as we stand here less than 2 weeks till Shavuot. Okay, so let's go weiter. Now the third and final piece of the Parsha, and this is probably the hardest one to understand. Let's see if we can understand a little bit, and at the very least, if the words of the Berditchever pass through our mouths and our minds and our hearts, then we did a good thing. It says a little later, again when it describes Sheva Levi, again later in Perek Aleph, Achas Mate Levi Lo Sifkod, B'nai Levi shouldn't be counted as part of Shevet Levi, shouldn't be counted as part of the regular count. They're not part Besoch B'nai Yisrael, they're not part of B'nai Yisrael in the regular way. Okay? In what way are they different? We just learned that B'nai Yisrael correspond to the black ink of the Torah, and Shevet Levi corresponds to the Torah Shebal Peh. But let's try to understand the idea even a little deeper. The Berditchever explains here in the third piece, Ki Torah, HaTorah, the Torah, is made up of Ramach Mitzvos Aseh, Ushasa mitzvos los asay. The 248 mitzvos asay of the Torah and the 365 los asay, again making up the 613, heim oros. They are lights. They are illumination. They are not really something that is physical. Now, of course, when I do a mitzvah, it expresses itself in physical reality. Whether it's using my body to do the mitzvah, or whether it's using an object of mitzvah, like tefillin, or a lulav, or a shofar, or a piece of matzah. But at their root, the mitzvahs are lights that are descending into this world. They're oros. Okay, they're energy. It's a raw energy. V'hamishkan hu masha oros haruchnios heim mutzum tzamim b'mishkan. And the Mishkan also is really a building made up of light. It's, as it says in Shir Hashirim, it's tocho rotz of ava. It's really an emotion. It's not really a physical place, but it's more of a spiritual entity. But of course, again, that spirituality descends the same way that the or, which is a lulav, becomes a palm branch. So too, the or that is the Mishkan becomes mitzumtzum. It becomes contracted within the physical structure called the Mishkan. So the Ruchnius is contained, so to speak, within the Gashmis, within the physical structure of the Mishkan. V'Yisraelim Gamkin Oros HaTorah. And every Jew also is a letter of Torah. He is a piece of Torah. He is a light of Torah. Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. So that means if you recognize that you are Torah, not just that you study Torah in the abstract, but if you become Torah, and if you realize that you are Torah, so then you also become the physical embodiment of a spiritual source of light. Ki kol echad mi Yisrael hu os mei Torah. Because every Jew, as we learned before, is a letter of Torah. Okay, so now what? Va'klal hu kamboshi yesh romach evar mishasa gidim gashmiyim. So therefore, again, paralleling the various parts of my body, the 248 limbs that Chazal speak of, the 365 gidim, the arteries or sinews that tie together the various limbs, just like that is a physical reality, the makeup of my body. Kein yish taryag oros sichlios ba'avodah sabori. Corresponding to the 613 parts of me, and of course there are more than 613. The 613 don't include some of our most vital organs, and the Vilna Gaon asked that question explicitly. How could it be that we talk about the 248 when we know from the Mishnayos and Maseches Kalim, I believe, in Kalim or Oalos, somewhere in Taros, I'm confused for the moment, I don't remember. The Vilna Gaon says, in Taros, it tells us a breakdown of some of these organs, and some of the most vital organs, your heart, for example, is not on the list. It's not talking about the Kalim Pnimium. It's not talking about the most essential organs of the body. So this number 248, exactly what it corresponds to, and by the way, Chazal say for a woman it's 252, so you have to figure out how that works as well. My father always likes to point out that you have the Ramach Evarim of a man, and the Reish Nun Beis Evarim of a woman, 252 and 248 is exactly 500, which is Gematria Pru Ervu. And that's the first mitzvah that's given to Klal Yisrael in a certain sense, to the world in a certain sense, and to the couple. The purpose of their marriage is that they should be able to populate the world and have children. So his 248 limbs and her 252 limbs together makes 500, which is also two times Ner, why a woman lights two Neros on Shabbos initially. That's the basic obligation. This is also part of the Minog Yisrael, that when the father and mother escort their children to the chuppah, so many have a minog that the parents hold candles, right? So each parent is holding a ner, and again, ner plus ner is 500. It's again gematria puravu that we're leading our child who we created through that mitzvah to now be a hemshich of that and create another Jewish family, like we learned in the first piece. But again, be that as it may, the 613 parts of a person, and again, the Vilna Gaon raised the question. So where are those missing organs, and what does it correspond to beyond the 613 mitzvos? It's a good question. But again, be that as it may, the 613 mitzvos correspond to 613, what the Berditcher calls, oros sichlios bavodas habori. Veheim nikram evarim ruchniyam. Somehow it corresponds to 613 spiritual ideas corresponding to my spiritual limbs. This is what the Chofetz Chaim describes in the third volume of the Mishnah Berurah, that if I don't do mitzvos, I will lose my limbs. If my limbs are not illuminated with this or, so if I don't do the mitzvah that corresponds to that part of my body, then God forbid, lasid lavo, a person's nitzchias, my olam haba, which according to, again, Chasidus and Mekubalim, means my body and my soul, so my body will actually be missing parts. And that's a terrifying thought. And the Chofetz Chaim says, obviously, some body parts are even more essential than others. If you're missing a head or a heart, that's much more critical than missing an arm or a leg, even though that would also be terribly painful and embarrassing. So the Chofetz Chaim says Shabbos is one of the vital organs. That's why he's writing about it over there in the third volume of the Mishnah Berurah. So there's 613 oros sichlios that correspond to my 613 physical body parts and also my 613 evarim ruchnim. Va'abore baruch hu mashpia tamed ba'sichlios. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly being mashpia, this or into man. V'yesh adam shemasig rak ha'sichlios. V'yesh adam shemasig v'roa heicha shefa ba me'ilas ha'ilos ala sichlios. Some people recognize, they feel the life within them. They understand the body and maybe the mitzvah that's being asked of them, but they fail to recognize, and this is the key point that he's trying to make, the Creator, who at that very moment is being mashpia, that or into you. And here's where things get a little abstract and esoteric, but let's try to understand. The tzaddik doesn't only see, oh, that I'm supposed to, oh, my left arm, oh, that's for tefillin. He doesn't only see that the body part has a corresponding mitzvah. He recognizes Hashem as being mitzavahim to do that mitzvah and energizing him with the possibility of doing that mitzvah at every moment. He recognizes the cause of all cause. That's what that means, right? The shefa that comes mi ilas ha'ilos al ha'sichlios. He recognizes the mover, the one who causes that or to descend upon you. Vizehu maros hanavi. And that's what it means. When the Navi sees, what is the Navi seeing? The Navi is seeing the pipeline. He's seeing the tzinor through which the shefa is descending upon you. He's not just seeing, again, the end result. But the Navi is recognizing where it's coming from. He understands things closer to its shoresh. And that's why in Shmuel Aleph, the Navi highlights in a almost narrative note. It's interesting. The pasuk's talking, and then it says, "Oh, by the way," like almost in parentheses, if the narrator is speaking, "Ki la Navi hayom yikare lifanim harawa," right? Kind of like a footnote almost. That which we nowadays call a Navi, again, Navi is milashon nivsvasayim. The Navi is the one who transmits the message with his lips, but the Navi used to be called the Roa. Roa means the seer, the one who sees and better understands than the average person. He sees things closer to their shoresh. He understands the origin of things, not just the end result. Okay, so what does all this mean for us? So says the Berditchever, v'zeh ha-remes, and this is what's hinted to when it describes, let's say, the menorah, one of the pieces of the Mishkan. He quotes the pasuk from Bamidbar Peraches Pasuk Dalet. What does the pasuk say over there in Bahaloscha? The pasuk says, "Vizeh ma'aseh ha-menorah." I'll read you the whole pasuk. "Vizeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, miksha zahav ad yirecha ad pircha mikshahi, kamar'eh asher ha'osa es Moshe, kein asa es ha-menorah." We know that Moshe hammered out the menorah. It was a single piece. Its base, its flowers, its branches, the whole thing. And what does the pasuk highlight? "Kamar'eh asher ha'ra Hashem es Moshe." Pashup Shat, according to the vision that Hashem showed Moshe, meaning Hashem showed Moshe how to make the menorah, and he made it that way. Again, whatever exactly happened, Hashem gave him a blueprint, he threw it into the fire, however exactly it worked, based on the famous Rashis earlier in the Torah. But the bottom line is Hashem showed Moshe the menorah, and he did it. Uvamaleches ha-mishkan lo namar kein. But by the creation of the Mishkan, it doesn't emphasize as much kamar e'a asher hera Hashem es Moshe, like the vision that Hashem showed Moshe. Why? Ki ha-mishkan romez al ha-sichlios, because the Mishkan, and again, I don't really know how to explain this, but let's just read the words. The Mishkan alludes to the sichlios. V'ha-menorah romez al ri'iyas ha-shefa ha-ba b'chol rega mi'ilas ha-ilos al ha-sichlios. So while the Mishkan represents, so to speak, the physicality that has been endowed with spirituality, right, meaning the physical building being used, the zahav, the kesef, again, each body part, so to speak, being used for its particular mitzvah. But the menorah illuminates what? Not just, oh, this is a particular expression of something God wants us to do. The menorah itself, it's kamar esh or hera Hashem. It's recognizing, again, the source of that neshama, of that seichel. Seichel is a code word for neshama, especially in the writings of the Maharal. Seichel means the neshama. So it's recognizing the menorah shows us again the way in which the light is being transmitted and from where it's being transmitted. Vizeu kamara asher hera Hashem es Moshe. This is what it means, the mara, the appearance the vision that Hashem showed Moshe. Again, like the Navi in the olden days wasn't just someone who transmitted the message, kind of what's the bottom line, what does God want from you, but the Navi showed you how to see Hashem in your life. That's what a roeh is, a seer. Moshe ra'a eicha shefa ba me'ilas ha'ilos al ha'sichlios. Moshe was able to identify the cause of that spirituality, not just the spirit itself. Again, the lowest person just sees his physical body as being nothing other than a physical body. A more spiritual person recognizes that my physical body is being charged with a mission to be used for spiritual purposes. And the highest level, or I guess the highest level of these three that we're discussing, the highest level is to recognize the Creator as He is commanding me to use my body in a spiritual way. Recognizing the source of that spirituality, the source of that neshama, the source of that seichel. I think that's what the Brit Yitzchak is saying here. And therefore, Shevet Levi, coming back now full circle, why is Bnei Levi counted differently? Why are they counted separately? Ki Yisrael he morim al oros hasichlios. What does it mean to be a Yisrael? What is Yisrael? Yisrael is neshama. Yisrael, right? We talk about nishmas Yisrael. It's a recognition of the spiritual mission of the Jewish people. What is Levi? What does the word Levi even mean? He doesn't say it here, but I think he's hinting to it. A Levi means what? Leviim morim al hashefa haba me'ilas ha'ilos al hasichlios. Levi, what does the word Levi mean? Why did Leah name her son Levi? Hapam yilaveh, that my husband should become attached to me. Levi is a lashon of attachment, a lashon of dveikus. It's attaching something closer to its source and not only seeing what it is that Hashem is asking of you and appreciating the spiritual responsibilities of a physical human being, but it's to recognize and to be davuk to the Creator much closer to the source. That's why Shevet Levi is counted separately. And also he concludes the piece, he says, Velachain. Bitaras halavim, over here again in Baaloscha, when it describes the purification process of Shevet Levi, what do you do for the levim? Upon sprinkling the mechatos, right, sprinkle the pure waters of the Parah Aduma upon them. But more than that, says the pasuk, ve'aviru sa'ar al kol bisaram, that they should pass a razor over their flesh. They have to remove their hair. Why? What is hair? Kisaros, and again, it's very Kabbalistic, but let's just read the words. Kisaros heim bechinos levush, because hair is like a garment. Right? We talk about Esav being covered with hair. It's ka'adaras sayar. Adaras means a cloak. Hair could be a cloak. Hair could be a divider between us and Hashem. Hair is associated, too much hair is associated with gvura or midas hadin. Why? Because it separates us in a certain sense from Hashem. Mitzvahs are also called the levush, and the answer is right. A mitzvah, from the perspective of a mitzvah, is a holy levush. It's creating a pure levush. But at the same time, there's the danger of it becoming a levush, something that stops us from being davuk to the shorash. And that's what Shevet Levi is about. They're mentioned separately because Levi tries to remove all the hair, to remove any separation, to not only infuse physicality with spirituality, but again, to be connected to the ilas ha'ilos, to be connected to the shorash. Valeviim roms ma'bechina elyona shehu below levush klal. The Leviim, therefore, are removed from hair as a way of saying that they're going to be able to see beyond the levushim. And again, that's the idea of the roeh. The Navi of old had the ability to not only transmit a message to Klal Yisrael, but to recognize Hashem and to see Hashem in the process. And again, this is a very deep idea, but also very, very worthwhile to think about on Shavuos, that we're not just accepting the Torah and mitzvos. We're accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's giving us the Torah and mitzvos. As the Maharal emphasizes, right, that we're focused not only on the Nisinas HaTorah, but what? But the Nosein HaTorah, like we say in Birchas HaTorah. Right? Noten HaTorah. We're focused on the one who's giving us the Torah. And to make sure that Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem, Hashem is giving us the Torah, right? Torah Si, the Torah of me, Al Tazov. Don't lose God in the mix. Make sure that the Dveikus to Hashem is there, and we don't take the Torah in a way that's devoid of Hashem. So as we go to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the mountain once again, let's again realize all three of these ideas. Number one, the first piece, that Klal Yisrael are unique amongst the nations of the world, that our families are guarded with a higher level of Kedusha, and Su'u Es Rosh B'nai Yisrael, we should lift up our heads to be proud of our Yichus, of the fact that we've maintained a certain morality in a very immoral world. That's number one. Number two, to realize that when you interact with a Jew, you're interacting with a letter of Torah, and to see ourselves that way, that every Jew is a letter of the Torah, each member of Bnei Yisrael being Torah Shevachsav, Sheva Levi somehow very deeply being Torah Sheval Peh. And again, lastly, this idea that we're trying to explain, that Sheva Levi reminds us of the importance of not only accepting the spiritual responsibilities of mitzvos, but again, like the menorah, and there's more to say about the menorah, I just have to go do carpool now, but the menorah reminds us not only of the kiner mitzvah, but it's the Torah or, it's the or of connection to Hashem that we need to try to recognize, and not only again to focus on infusing our physical bodies, the 613 physical body parts with 613 lights of Torah, namely neshama, the seichel, but to also make sure that we recognize the source of that opportunity, which comes from the Creator of the world Himself. Okay, so now we're a little bit more ready for Shavuos, a little bit more ready for Parshas Bamidbar, and Emir Tashem, everyone should take these ideas into Shabbos and take them to Kabbalah Satorah. Have a great day, and thanks for dialing in to learn with me. Shkoyach.